was that? How about Ronco? How many of you know their name, Ronco? Oh, come on. It slices and it dices for $19.99, but wait, there's more. And it always came on in the middle of the night at a time when you should have been in bed sleeping, and it was always a problem to solve, and then they would give you the solution, and they would tell you how to apply the solution. One in particular that I remember is when he had the hairspray or hair color in a can. How many of you remember that one? All right. He got on there and said, how many of you are going bald? Wow, okay. How many of you would love to have an ability to fill that bald spot in without thousands of dollars of implants? Yeah, that's me right there. Well, here it is. And he'd pull out a spray can and he would spray the top of his head. And he'd look down and he'd say, there's the problem is solved. And then he would say, for $19.99, you can get a can. But wait, there's more. See, the object of being a good salesman is giving you the problem, giving you the solution, and how to apply the solution. Now, I don't know about you, but I could sure use some of that Ronco hair stuff right now. Amen? My kids remind me of that all the time. So here's the situation, brothers and sisters. We have a problem. We have a problem in this world, and it's called darkness. We have a problem in this world, it's called sin. We have a problem in this world where society seems to be going absolutely crazy. Now, we've preached this before and we've talked about this before, but this morning it's really weighing heavy on my heart. I was watching David Jeremiah this morning, and he was speaking about this a little bit. But I want to share some of these things with you this morning, and the name of the message is Overcoming the Dark. Overcoming the Dark. Open your Bibles over to 2 Timothy chapter 3 with me this morning. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. We have to present the problem. What is the problem in order that we need to find the solution? Now, of course, when Paul wrote this to Timothy, it was a whole different time period, almost 2,000 years ago when Paul wrote these words to Timothy. And so if it was bad in that time, imagine what is comparable to now. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, starting in verse number 1. He says, Timothy, know this also, understand this, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. They're going to be traitors. They're going to be heady. They're going to be high-minded. They're going to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They're going to have a form of godliness, but they're going to deny the power thereof. From such, turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, and they lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts. They're ever learning, and they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate, concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. Those words could have been written in 2021. The description of mankind and the description of what people are doing and are not doing, it's perfectly ripped out of the news headlines today. Killing people, destroying children, messing up marriages, making decisions that God did never intended us to make, taking place in opportunities and things that God never wanted us to do. People are seeking after pleasure and doing what they want, even those who name the name of Jesus Christ. And people are saying, well, it's okay. It's 2021. You can go ahead and do it. We don't want to be an old fuddy-duddy. We just want to make sure everything is comfortable and everything is fine. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Because if you hurt somebody's feelings, they won't come back to church.
Or if you hurt somebody's feelings, they won't like you anymore. Or if you hurt somebody's feelings, they'll turn you in. It sounds just like 2021. But that was almost 2,000 years ago. See, God's word is applicable no matter when it was written. God's word is true regardless of when it was written. Brothers and sisters, how many of you would agree I just described the United States of America in those few words? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. How many of you would agree, talking to yourself, I just described your house, your workplace, your family gathering this Thanksgiving? Brothers and sisters, it's real. So you say, well, Brother Brian, you've made me see the problem, so what's the solution? I'm glad you asked. And it won't cost you $19.99, amen? Let me show you the solution. Go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter number 1. I'm going to give you the solution this morning. Matter of fact, God has already given us the solution, but Ephesians chapter number 1 gives us the solution. Ephesians chapter number 1, verse number 1, Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus and all the surrounding places, all the towns and all the things that are surrounding this. He says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now he's saying, listen, I'm the one writing these words, but I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is giving me these words to say to you. And that's what I'm telling you this morning. I am not picking on anybody. I'm not judging anybody. I'm not calling anybody out for anything that I know of. I'm just simply telling you what God's word says, and I'm telling it to you in love. If I can tell these things to you in love and to keep you from really making a mistake that's going to devastate you or your family or your community or whatever, if I can possibly do that, I want to do it. See, I don't know what's going on in your life. You don't know what's going on in my life. You don't know what I'm battling. I don't know what you're battling. But I do know that we have an enemy who wants to destroy us. And if we will simply take the word of God and apply it, it will help us. It will change our lives. So you have one of two choices this morning. You can continue to ignore me, or you could pay attention to what God says and not ignore him. So it says, Paul says, I'm writing this word to you. Grace be unto you and peace. Peace always follows grace. From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. God's will is for us to be holy. You name the name of Jesus Christ, your life ought to be holy. You ought to live a life that's separate from the things of the world. You name the name of Jesus Christ, your life ought to be different than the world that's surrounding us. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. Can people tell that you are Christians? Can people see the way you live your life without you carrying a big old King James Bible? Can they see how you live your life that you indeed belong to Jesus Christ? See, that's what God's will is for us. That's what God's will is for me. If I claim to be a preacher, and I claim to be a pastor, and I claim to speak the word of God, but my life is contrary to what I'm preaching, then I am a fake and I am a phony, and I'm not worthy to be standing up here. So I must examine my life. I must be willing to say, okay, God, I want to be what I need to be so that I can be holy and I can preach your word right. How many of you would want to follow a pastor who was an adulterer? How about a drunkard? How about addicted to drugs? Would you want to listen to me preach God's word if I was guilty of doing those things? Then why are you? I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about those who weren't here this morning. We all have to hold ourselves accountable to the Lord. Amen? So he's saying that's what's going on here. And then he says this, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. The solution is to be redeemed in his blood, being forgiven of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. Have you been forgiven of your sins? We're in church. It's okay to say yes or amen. Have you been forgiven for your sins? Have you been washed in the blood? That's the solution. That is the solution. Vince Pompeo said, if you've got a bald spot, the solution is a can of this 1999 spray and spray it on there, and you can go out in public and nobody will ever know that you had a bald spot. But the problem is, it eventually washes away. And you got to keep buying bottles of 1999 spray to spray that bald spot to cover it up. But may I tell you this? When you've been washed in the blood, it never washes away. Can I get somebody to testify this morning? Can I get somebody to wave a hanky? Can I get somebody to get happy that they've been washed in the blood forever and ever? So he says, the solution is to get washed in the blood. The solution is to get your sins forgiven. That is the solution. He continues, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. He's given us wisdom and prudence, understanding, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, the word mystery is not saying you've got to solve the problem by closely examining everything. The word mystery means beyond our understanding and comprehension in our own processes. See, God has a perfect will for every single one of us. I told the kids that Friday afternoon when we were feeding them. I said, listen, God has a will for every one of you. You know what God's will for everybody is? First off, that they trust Jesus Christ, their Savior. That's his will. Not everybody will be saved. Matter of fact, there may be some people in this very room that don't want that will. They want to do what they want to do. But God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So God's number one will is that you get saved. You know what his second will is? Now get ready. This is a mystery. This is going to be a hard one. Are you ready for it? His will is for you to bring him glory. Whatsoever you eat, whatsoever you drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now, is that hard? Yes. How many of you agree doing that is hard? How many of you are still awake? It's hard, but it's not impossible with Jesus Christ's strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That includes glorifying him. That's God's will. So if you've gotten the first one, you also get the second one. That's God's will. And here's the third will of God. I'm telling you right now, get saved, bring him glory, and the third will is for you to continue in your sanctification process. Sanctification, that's a big old Bible word, Brother Brian. I'm sanctified. Sanctified means this. Good question. It means growing in the Lord on a daily basis. Are you sanctified today? Are you growing in him? Are you closer to him today than you were a year ago? Are you closer to him today than you were a week ago? If you're not, why not? Well, it's your responsibility, Brother Brian. You're supposed to be the preacher. You're the one that's supposed to preach, and you're the one that's supposed to feed me. And so I come to get fed on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. But what about Monday through Saturday? Who feeds you then? You want me to come to your house and feed you? This is where you get fed. Amen? Amen. Okay, so I'm just trying to help you out this morning, okay? That verse number 10. That in dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. One day we're going to be gathered together again in him, and that's the solution. So the problem is, there is darkness. The problem is, there's a great darkness. The problem is, there's an overwhelming darkness. The solution is that you can trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and overcome that darkness. So how many are with me so far? The problem, the solution, and now the application. Thank you, Terry. The application. Stay in Ephesians, go to chapter number 4. Here's the application. The problem is there's an overwhelming darkness. The solution is that the blood of Jesus Christ can wash our sins away. Here is the application of that solution. Verse number 21. Ephesians chapter number 4, verse 21. We'll start there. If so be that you heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, here it is, that you put off concerning the former lifestyle, the conversation, the old man, you put it off. You don't do that anymore, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. What does that look like? Stop lying, putting away lying. Speak every man truth to his neighbor. For we are members one of another. If you lie one to another, you're lying to the Lord. If you lie one to another, you're lying to your family. Stop it, he says. Be angry. Uh-oh, there you go. I like that one, Brother Brian. Woohoo! I can do that easy. How many of you can get angry easy? You a bunch. You're lying right there. Bunch of liars. It's easy for us to get angry. Be ye angry, comma, and sin not. Being angry is not a sin. It's what you do with that anger and the sin becomes. If you get angry and call the person or situation every name in the book, that's a sin. I was watching a football game last night. I'm not going to mention which one. And as I was watching the football game, every time something would go wrong, they would have the camera on the coach or a fan, and it seemed like every time something went wrong, that fan or coach said a dirty word. And I'm not a very good lip reader, but I could read everything they were saying. And even the commentators said, oh, turn your children's eyes. They shouldn't be watching those words. Brothers and sisters, getting angry is not the problem. It's how you react to that anger. Then he says this, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, deal with it now. You know the biggest problem a lot of us deal with? We're holding bitterness inside of us. And we got angry about something a long time ago. And it's inside of us. And it's anger. And it's bitterness. And it's eating us alive. And you've not dealt with it. Bitterness is a cancer that will eat you alive. Well, you don't know what so-and-so did. You don't know what so-and-so said. No, I don't. But I promise you, if you hold that and you don't deal with it, it will eat you up. How many have ever heard of the heart attack called the widow maker? Had a friend of mine that was chopping some wood. And he told me, he said, I knew that something was wrong because he was having a pain right in the middle of his back. And he didn't know what was going on, but he kept on chopping wood and chopping wood. And he came down like this, and all of a sudden, boom, the widowmaker hit him. He dropped like a log. He was dead. His wife screamed, called the ambulance. They got on there, and they brought him back to life. And he says, Brian, I knew the instant it hit what it was. Because I have been dealing with it for a long time. But I didn't want to do anything about it because I just wanted to keep going on with my life. It almost killed me. Brothers and sisters, some of you in here this morning, you may have bitterness that you've been dealing with for years, maybe even decades, and you know it's there. And it's going to kill you if you don't do something about it. Just saying. Look what else he says. He says, verse number 27, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil even an inch to come into your life. You open the door to him, even though you're saved, you open a door to temptation and you allow him to come in, he will take a mile. Just a little bitty thing, he'll take it. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may give it to him that needs. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Wow, what a list. Whew. How many of you agree that is a humongous list? Have you got all of it down, Pat? Have you met every one of those check marks? If you have, I want to shake your hand and I want you to pray for me that I'll get there. Because I'm not there. I want to be, but I'm not there yet. Now hold on a second, I'm not done. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. And walk in love as Christ hath loved us and given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, let it not once be named among you as become a saint. Neither filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For you know that no whoremonger, unclean person, covetous man, idolatry, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of God, in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. But because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be you not therefore partakers with them. Whew. My goodness. How many of you understand what he is saying right here? It's pretty plain. I didn't write these words, by the way, so you can throw stones at me all you want to. But God is telling us this for our own good. I'm thankful for the double yellow line. What? I'm thankful for the double yellow line. That double yellow line that runs down the middle of the highway. You know why I'm thankful for it? It's an invisible boundary between you and oncoming traffic. Could you imagine what traffic would be like if there was no double yellow line or single yellow line? People wouldn't know what to do. There'd be head-on collisions all the time. Well, I had the right-of-way. There's no double yellow. I got The double yellow line gives us a boundary. You may not like it, but it gives us a boundary. Brothers and sisters, this is a spiritual double yellow line. God says, I'm placing this for your own good. Verse number 8. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. There it is. The problem is an overwhelming darkness. The solution is the blood of Jesus Christ. The application is you and I being children of light. How many can acknowledge there's an overwhelming darkness? Do you want to be part of the solution? Be the light. Trust the Lord as your Savior. Be the light. Be the light. There it is. Be the light. Brother Brian, how do I deal with it then? How do I deal with all those things that I'm not keeping up with? Does God hate me? Is God angry with me? No. You know what he's saying? My dear child, live as light. You may be the only light in your household. You may be the only light at Thanksgiving this year or at Christmas. But be the light. Don't let the world snuff out the light. The problem is overwhelming darkness. The solution is the blood of Jesus. The application is you and I to be the light. So how about it? How about it? Will you join with me this morning and surrender to be the light as best as you can with the power of Jesus Christ and be the light? You can't be perfect, but you can be the light. This world doesn't need darkness anymore. It needs the light. It needs the light. So here's my challenge for you this morning. I'm going to kneel right here. And I'm going to invite anybody that wants to come up as families, as individuals. Maybe nobody will come. Maybe you want to make an altar where you are. I want to challenge you this morning to ask Jesus Christ to help you be the light. But you got to have the solution first. You got to be saved. If you've been saved, ask Jesus Christ to be the light through you today. He's worth it. He's worthy. And he will if you'll do that this morning. Miss Doris, if you'll play something for us this morning. I'm going to challenge you this morning. It's everybody stand together, heads bowed, and eyes closed. I'm going to invite you to come. You come as couples, come as families, come as individuals. But I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to kneel up here and I'm going to ask God to help me. I'm going to invite you to do the same thing this morning. Thank you.
Be seated just for a moment. Y'all can be seated just for a moment. I want to highlight a couple of announcements in case you didn't see them when you came in this morning. There we go. All right. The Praise Fest is going to be this Sunday, next Sunday from 3:30 to 5:30. Our church is going to have a booth. We're going to eat candy and that kind of thing. But it's in Alarka. And this is the last year they're going to do it. So they're going to do it, the Praise Fest in Alarka. Ichthys Ministries, you'll see the signs and everything else. It's a wonderful event. The kids can come out and trick-or-treat and get all their candy and all kinds of play, all kinds of games. They're going to have music and a great, wonderful opportunity. So if you want to help participate with us,